Well, hi everyone, and welcome back to the Dangerous Creatives podcast. If you've been listening for a while, you know that sometimes we have other creatives on this podcast and we do a little coaching or problem solving around a pain point in their business or question that they have. And so today we have Diana Marie Photography on here. We are talking about price raises and inquiries and sales, and we're trying to figure out why she is getting so many inquiries, but the bookings have not been at the number that she wants. And so we've done a little bit of digging and we figured out some solutions that we're working on together in this episode. So I know that you will relate to everything Diana is going through. So thank you so much for tuning in and listening, and let us know if you are loving these coaching episodes or if you want to apply to be on this podcast. We always get to dive in. You can do them anonymously if you want, but there is no reason to feel stuck or discouraged in your business when there's plenty of people out there that want to help, and we definitely want to be people that help as well. So check out the link to the application in our show notes. We have lots of other resources and tools in there as well, or you can go to dangerschool.com/links to get all of the links to the things that we're working on right now. Thank you again for listening. It really does mean so, so much to us. We are getting close to 200 episodes. I'm not sure how that happened, but you guys have just been the biggest fans and have shared these episodes with your friends, and I can't tell you how much that means to me. So always feel free to slide into my DMs if you want to talk about these episodes. I'm on Instagram at Kristen Sweeting, and always love connecting with you and hearing how you're liking the podcast. So hope you enjoy this episode with Diana. Well, hey, and welcome to the Dangerous Creatives podcast. I'm so excited because Diana Marie Photography is here, and she has an amazing body of work, and we're just chatting about some pain points around pricing and elevating markets. And I think a lot of people that listen to this podcast are going to be able to relate to what you're saying, Diana. And I'm excited to dive in and just hear more about you and your business, and we can go from there. Can you introduce yourself really fast, like where you are, if you want, and what kind of photography you do, and how long you've been in business, and some of those things?
Yeah, I am Diana with Diana Marie Photography. I am based in Nashville, Tennessee, but I kind of go all over. I have been in this about 5 years almost. It was kind of an unconventional journey, but I'm kind of grateful and for what has been brought my way. I'm a wedding photographer and I really enjoy it. So
that's awesome. 5 years is like long, but also not that long, right? Like, how did you get into photography? Was it something you always liked, or like, how did you kind of find your way here?
So it started off being, I did my sister's maternity photos in 2018. And you're like, wait, you start off maternity, but you're a wedding photographer. So when I did her maternity photos, my sister's mother-in-law was kind of like, you have an eye for this, like, just go for it and see what happens. And I did one of my first weddings in 2020. So 2020 was a great year. I was still working full-time in healthcare. And then in November of 2020, I lost that job. And it was kind of like, okay, it's time to either go full-time or find something else. But what's really ironic about the whole thing is I ended up telling a business coach of mine at the time I wanted to go full-time in November of 2021. And then 3 weeks later, that happened. So the universe was kind of just like, okay, time for you to go. And then I kind of just fell in love with weddings. And I started off more of just like, I wanted to create, you know, beautiful photos, just like anybody else. But two things happened in 2021 that really shaped how I approach wedding days with intention and care. And that was, I lost my grandmother on my mom's side, and I actually lost my dad a month later. Mm-hmm. So I lost my grandmother in January of 2021, and then I lost my dad in February of 2021. And after I lost them, I kind of took a step back and looked at weddings, and I was like, you know what? I want to approach these differently. I don't want to approach them with just, it's a wedding day, pretty photos. I want to approach it with care. I want it to look like the couple has taken the photos themselves. Like, I want to know what's important to a couple. I want to know what makes like their story and the people who are there surrounding them and their loved ones. They're a huge part of that story. So I really focus on like those small moments, the candid moments, but also moments with mom and dad, moments with grandma and grandpa, because even though I don't get those moments, I am incredibly grateful and blessed to create those moments for other people. And that is kind of like the journey started off as like, oh yeah, I want to do this. And then it's turned into so much more. And it's become such a rewarding journey that like I can't put into words how like rewarding it is, because over the last 2 years, I've actually taken some of the last photos of people's loved ones and they share that with me, and it's instant tears because like being able to create that is a huge blessing. And that's kind of how the journey started and where it's at now. So, and that's kind of how I've shifted how I approach a wedding day. And I think that it's so much more than just, a wedding day to them. So,
Yeah, totally. So you put a lot into your relationship with your couples and really wanting it to feel like a personalized experience, then I'm guessing.
I do. I do. I ask a lot of good questions that kind of dive into like what's important to them and kind of like what their like must-haves are. And I get to know my couples very well, kind of to the point where it's like I said, they've texted me and been like, hey, like you have no idea what you did for me and my family. You captured some of the last moments of my loved ones. And I am incredibly grateful for that. And when I get those messages, it's just like, it's rewarding, but it's bittersweet. And like, what I do is so special. And I get emotional every time I get a text like that.
Yeah, I think that's so good to remember too, because I think it's easy to look past why we got into what we're doing and to get away from the heart of the matter too. So that's beautiful that you're just like, you keep that front and center. Well, you've done a lot in a short amount of time. That is not very long to be in business, and you've done a lot, but has it been all butterflies and roses?
It has not, and I'm not going to sit there and sugarcoat it.
Give us the tea, Diana. Like, what has been hard, and like, why did you book this call, and what do you want to talk about?
So, like, the whole thing has been hard. It's really just been the last 2 years. Like 2021, 2022 were great. And that's because, I was kind of just like establishing kind of like that price point, that bit like first full-time year. And then going into that second full-time year, I was still kind of establishing where I wanted to be. And then I made a jump in 2023. And 2023, I didn't have as many weddings as I did in 2022. And I was like, what am I doing wrong? And then 2023 came and went, and like, I think I don't remember how many weddings I did exactly, but it wasn't what I wanted. Like, I didn't want to be fully booked where it was like every weekend, but I wanted more than what I had. And it was more of like that jump, I think, kind of like maybe offset things a little bit. 'Cause I know when you jump a little bit, you have time where it's going to be okay. You're going to have time before between when you jump and then when you like book something at that new price point. But the inquiries were slow last year, and I did run ads for a little bit, but I'll be honest, probably I only booked a couple of those, and only a handful of those were my ideal client. So I had made the decision late last year to stop running ads and kind of just focus on how can I bring this experience to another level. And I think like that's kind of where I'm at now, is I'm being told by peers and people I look up to that they're like, okay, you should maybe bump your rates a little bit or try this. And I'm a little scared. And I know that people tell you do it scared, but when the business isn't coming in, how can you do something scared? And one of the reasons why I booked this call is because I've listened to, previous episodes. I've heard how you help people. I've also had the pleasure of meeting you in person, and you're just such an amazing person. So, and I wanted to kind of just like voice how my pain points are right now with just like trying to figure out where I should be price-wise, but also like nurturing those relationships with planners. 'Cause I did get in the mar month of March, I booked 4 weddings, but they were all referrals. None of them were cold leads.
Yeah,
And
that's awesome.
I I would like to kind of make sure that like I'm doing proper things to nurture relationships, but also maybe get on, radars of other people. And as I make those small jumps in pricing, I'm going to probably be relying more on referrals versus cold leads from my website. So that's kind of why I booked the call.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, well, let's talk like cold hard numbers too, because I didn't have as many as I wanted, as that's a feeling kind of thing. So, what would be your ideal, I guess, or what were you booking before it felt like things dipped? And then what are you booking now? And is there a change in the revenue too? Has the overall
There
revenue gone down?
has been a change in revenue. I've kind of compared my numbers between 2022 to 2023 to 2024, and even between 23 to 24, like right now, year to date, I'm down. And it's not easy to look at because it's like, okay, I want to continue to do this, but like, how can I continue if the numbers are not there? And 2022, I think, was probably busier than 21. I think in the end of 2022, I ended up maybe I think it was like 25 weddings, which is too many. I don't want that many. I like having time to go home, see my niece and my nephew and my sister and all that. And like, I don't want that. That's not what I want moving forward. What I want moving forward is doing instead of multi-wedding weekends, like, yeah. Multi-wedding weekends. I want multi-wedding event weekends.
So like
So,
multi-day weddings versus two weddings in a week.
yes, because I'm not young anymore and my
What are you
body
talking
hurts.
about?
I'm closer to 40 than I am 30. We'll just say
Forty is the new
that.
20, Diana. This is what I'm telling myself.
I'm going to tell myself that moving forward. That's what's going to happen. But I think last 2023, I think I ended up with, I remember how many, I want to say, I think it was only 7 weddings. And that was a little scary for me because I had this huge gap where I had nothing. Like I had a wedding in March and then I had nothing until August. And I kind of filled it with second shooting and associate shooting, which like I don't mind doing, but it's not where my heart is. And then this year has kind of been the same way. I've had one wedding in March and then I have nothing till June. So it's been, I mean, like, and my last wedding of 23 was in November. So it's more of like that gap that kind of scares me. And I don't know what I'm fall right now. I have one wedding in October. And I have one in November and one in December, but I don't have the volume of what I've had the previous years. And I know that happens when you go up in price because you're, from what I remember reading something, it's been a couple of years since I read it. It was like for every jump you make, you're going to lose people. And if you're making jumps, you are meant to lose people. And I think it's wrapping my head around that and getting out of my mind of like, okay, if you're going to jump in price again, here's what's going to happen. So, but the numbers last year to this year are still down. So,
Well, okay, so about four weddings this year then.
right now for this year, I have it on a post-it over here. So I'm looking. I'm closer to my goal of 20 that I like to have, like 15 to 20, than I am last year. I have 10 right now.
Okay.
So,
For 2024.
yes. Yes. And I do have two calls this week with 2024 couples. So
Awesome.
it's like the last minute window.
I think it's a common thing to say that, hey, when you jump in price, you have to wait for a little bit. And some of that is true. And some of it, because of the way our business is set up with weddings, we aren't getting recurring clients anyways. So, like, yes, in a normal business, if you're working with the same people over and over and they're coming back, you're going to lose some. But because they're used to this one price point and then you're jumping. With weddings, we have a little bit more flexibility because it's a new person each time. So there's some of like word of mouth that we're, people were used to us being at this one price zone and then we're jumping up. So it's a little bit of adjustment, but I actually think it's a little less than a little less than other businesses because of that, because it's always fresh people. So I always just like to like watch out when there's something that we're telling ourselves that might also be getting in the way of us fully embodying that next stage that we're in. Because like the confidence behind it and the belief in it is such an important piece too. And so I'm excited to keep diving in more because a lot of times what people think is, oh, this is because of my pricing. It's actually you've leveled up this one thing, your pricing, and there's maybe some piece that like you've been doing a lot of up leveling, like your website is beautiful and you've put a lot of work into different things, but a lot of people don't know you also have to change your sales process and you also have to change your marketing process and your curation and stuff like that. So I always like to look at those things first before we're like, oh, we need to change pricing or we need to jump ship on this pricing raise or whatever. Because a lot of times that's not the first thing to do. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
When I really went full on in my coaching business back in 2019, I knew it was going to be a leap to invest in a all-in-one software that could host and hold all of my courses, all of my programs. And so I was tentative to jump, but when I tell you that investing in Kajabi has led to multiple six figures in coaching income since then and has made my life so much easier, I mean it 100%. Kajabi not only holds our programs, but lets us offer payment plans, create specific offers and funnels for different programs that we have. It holds all of our courses, and they're constantly coming out with new features. So if you are hoping to have an online course someday, you're starting to build out your offer suite, or you're wanting to branch into education or coaching, or just have other programs that you're wanting to sell in a way that's gonna make it easy for you and streamlined for your clients, definitely recommend checking out Kajabi. Our link is in our show notes, and you get a free month when you test it out with our link. So, see what you think when you try out this all-in-one program. It saves me so much time and money and stress each month, and I hope you're gonna love it too. I also, was thinking about we have a lot of coaching clients that started their business in 2020/2021, and y'all kind of y'all got lucky, but also not lucky at the same time because you got used to this like big weddings boom where it was so easy to book weddings coming right out of the pandemic. And then we kind of hit this lull where a lot of people are struggling to book weddings. And like people that have been in it longer are like, hey, this is normal to ride these waves. And people that started right around 2020 are like, wait a minute, what is happening? Like, what did I do wrong? Because it just was so easy at the beginning. So I kind of feel bad for people that started then because you like really got used to a different pace, right?
Yep, we did.
And you're like, what? This was just so easy for a hot second.
Yeah, that's exactly kind of how it was. But also, I've kind of been fortunate enough to have a good community in Nashville of photographer friends who have kind of been those words of reassurance and been like, hey, this is normal. Like, it's going to happen. This has also kind of been a weird year for everybody. So that's kind of like what they've all been saying. And it is hard to take it with a grain of salt, with everything, but like I do. So.
Totally. Okay, well, I'm looking at your website and I'm looking at your Instagram, but I want to know a little bit more about your marketing. Like how much time, because here's the other thing, like 2020, 2021, we barely had to market, right? It was just like, and in 2023 and 2024, we have to put a lot more effort into marketing. And I still think people like we have clients fully booked, we have clients booking the biggest weddings of their careers, but you're having to put a lot more intentional time into marketing. So, what are you doing that is bringing in inquiries, and about how many inquiries are you getting per week, do you think?
I wouldn't say that I have an actual marketing plan, and that's probably part of what one of the pain points is trying to figure out what a marketing plan needs to be. Because like I said, last year I ran ads for a good bit of the year, and this year I haven't, kind of just testing the waters to see what would happen. Because I did enjoy getting the good amount of inquiries from the ads, but again, it went back to the whole thing of is it's not attracting my ideal. So I had to really step back and look at, I don't want to spend that money when I can invest it somewhere else. So probably with marketing, it's probably more of just I've kind of been working on my networking, but also being showing up in person, meeting more people in the industry, getting involved with local groups like with and other stuff. And it's more of just really kind of showing a presence of myself. And I think marketing wise, if I really sat down and could develop something, because that's kind of where I struggle too. It's like the marketing is not my strong suit either. So, I mean, Instagram is not a marketing strategy. So I can't lean on my Instagram and be like, yeah, I post every day and this is how I market. No. So with marketing, that's probably where I should probably need some help with, but kind of what that is right now at this time. So.
Okay, so mostly networking with other wedding vendors, yeah, and trying to build referral strategy. Any other kind of networking that you're doing?
I've actually photographed a few events for some venues for free, where to get kind of in touch with them, but also being in their circle and getting to know people. I'd say probably networking's kind of been the forefront of this of 2024. I looked at things from last year and I was like, okay, what did I do? What can I do this year but I didn't do last year? And last year was the first year I really started taking networking events seriously and really making connections and kind of just letting people know I'm there. And it's starting to pay off. So I'd say networking is probably the majority of what I've done.
Yeah.
I can't think of, I mean, and I also have an email list where I'll send out when I run a print sale or something, they'll get an email and it's kind of just explains what the sale is. I think ultimately I probably would like to create something like a newsletter where it goes out to an email list of people who have inquired with me or people who have are on the email list already, so that it's like, okay, she's front of mind type thing. So
Yeah, totally. Do you have it easily accessible to look at the weddings you have booked for 2024 and 2023 and to know where the referral source came from?
excuse me.
You're good. Yeah, just to go through and we can figure out where
I
each
do.
one came from. Awesome.
Because I do have a wedding lead tracker that I use anytime anybody inquires with me, and I keep track of who booked and who did not. And
Okay.
then I have a column that shows the referral spot. So let me pull that up
Perfect.
while I have this. I will say thank goodness for Zapier because that's kind of what connected it all.
I love it. Love the zaps.
I do too. And somebody introduced me to it, and I was like, you've changed my world, is what I said. So last year, I will say last year I did a lot of Facebook group stuff where I would comment in groups and get referrals or get leads that way.
Yeah.
Last year was a mix. There was some Facebook ads, mostly some Facebook groups. I have never received really gotten any leads from Instagram, which is interesting because I spend most of my time on there when I post and things like that. And I think I would like to get more leads from Instagram, but I know there's a strategy with that too. Last year was mostly actually was ads. There was one word of mouth, it looks like. One was a friend, and then the rest were Facebook groups where I would comment.
Okay.
And then this year one of them was a Facebook ad from last year,
Okay.
and then the rest have actually been word of mouth or referrals, except for one.
Okay.
So I think this year has been, oh, go ahead.
Can you pinpoint the word of mouth more? Like, was it a previous client? Was it another photographer?
It was a mix. There was three that were planner referrals that I have, and then one's a family member, so it was a family referral, and then one was a friend I worked with, so I was referred that way.
Okay.
So this year, it's really been more, it's actually really been more word of mouth and referral. I think I actually haven't had anything that's booked recently that is a cold lead from my website. So it's
Interesting.
mostly been word of mouth. So.
Okay, cool. But in your lead tracker, are you getting them from Instagram and things like that too? They're just not booking.
I haven't received, I would say the last inquiry I received from Facebook did not kind of ghosted me. They did not answer my email or my follow-up, like where I send a message like right away after getting the inquiry. And it was a lead from like from Texas, but it's because they saw, I think the tracker said it was an Instagram, but that's also one of the first things they see when they click down. So it could have just been they clicked that.
Okay.
But I did not end up getting them on a call. I'll say that.
Okay. And then are you able to tell how many of the ones that your inquiries are getting? Like how many inquiries are you getting versus booking a call or booking the session?
So I know this, I would say I know the exact number from August to March because I have talked to many friends about things. I had about 63 inquiries from August 2023 to March.
Okay.
And I was able to get about 15 of them on a call. And I booked none of them. Well, none of those because I didn't book anything until March. I had a really long dry booking spell of August 2023 to March of 2024.
Okay. Interesting. What do you do with, what do you think that data means?
Am actually not sure. Like I look at it and I'm like, okay, I got all these inquiries and I did have on my inquiry form, I did have a qualifier for budget because, I had it on there, to test things. And I was getting a lot of lower budget inquiries. So I did have to respond to quite a few and let them know, like, here's my starting price. If you would like to move forward with a call, please let me know. 9 times out of 10, I didn't hear back. And that told me that they didn't have any wiggle room in their budget. And I'm not somebody who's going to push for a call where it's like, okay, you don't have that budget. I'm not going to push you for a call. So that was probably part of it. And then I really started getting the qualified inquiries where they came from referrals. I was about February to March. So
Great. And you took the pricing question off your inquiry form.
I did. I actually, it was a recommendation of Sam Jacobson. And I took it off. He was like, test this, see what happens, and let us know. So
And have you tested it very long?
I've actually, yes, it's been being tested since February. And then in March was when I got all of those referrals, that
Awesome.
were just word of mouth. So.
Okay, cool. Cool. Yeah, I, in general, I tell most people not to put that question to you because I think people don't know. And I think it puts people in a weird place where they're like, what are they going to do with this information? Are they going to sell me on something more because I put this or, whatever. So in general, I think like the key is just having a conversation with someone longer and guiding them through it and feeling a lot more open with things. And I think to me, what your data, like 63 inquiries, 15 on a call, booking none, tells me we need to change the sales process. What do you think? Is that like a knowing nod, or are you like,
A
ugh?
little bit, kind of, yeah.
Yeah, because that's a good amount of inquiries. Because that you try to think of the client journey, and that means that they, for them to fill out your whole inquiry form, it means they looked through your site, they liked your work, they liked who you are, and they spent the time to fill that out. So, I think changing your sales process is going to help a ton. And not that we shouldn't put effort into marketing too, but I think that is going to change a lot for you. And even just the way that you think about your sales process too, I have found has helped me so much and has helped me be less like kind of riding the rate waves with other people and more proactive in my own business journey,
Yeah.
But marketing wise, I think we can talk about that a little bit too and come up with a couple more strategies by the end of this call. So you have a few more referral sources or a few more inquiry sources. I always when I hear, so Diana, you had like Facebook ads, word of mouth, planner referral. So it sounds like the networking you're doing is really working and you're building relationships that are going to grow over years, and that's huge. And so I don't think that you have to be on 20 people's referral list for networking to be effective. I think you can have really intentional relationships where you help each other out and you're always kind of working together, and you don't need a ton of people for that. But I do think it's nice to kind of always have your own brand voice and inquiries that come in so that you can also give inquiries and referrals back to your wedding planner friends and be the person that is also giving your friends work too. So, I think we should figure out something that feels good on that side too. And what do you think?
I like that idea.
Awesome. Okay, so before we talk about your sales process, do you want to tell everyone where your pricing is at right now?
Sure. I have a starting price of 4,500, and right now I have pretty standard 6, 8, or 10. And that's kind of it's 4,500 starting for 6 hours, and then going up would be 5,500, and then 6,500. So,
Okay, great. And what do you find most people are booking when they do book you?
the last two or three that I've booked have been in the 5 to 6.
That's awesome. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
You feel good about that, right?
I do. It was when it happened, it was kind of like, oh, this is what this feels like. This is awesome.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. For years, because this is like my 15th year, I think. For years, 5K was the goal. That was like the 5K was the current 10K. Everyone wanted to be at 5K. And I just was like, when I hit that, I was like, what do I do now? I don't even know, you know?
I write out daily goals every day. Like I have set goals where it's like, and I talk about them that they've already happened. And I was looking back at 2021 goals, and that was one of my goals, which was get to 5K. And here I am. It's been 2 years, but I'm there. And that's kind of like, okay, like you said, like you've hit that, like what next? So that's kind of,
Yeah.
it is a good feeling though.
I'm so proud of you. And I hope that you're taking time to celebrate that too, because, I know what we see on the internet is everyone out there crushing it, or that's what it feels like. But to make a career of an art is still something a lot of people don't get to experience. So we're still in the minority to be, making a sustainable income, booking these prices. So I hope you feel like really, really proud.
I do. It like I'm not somebody who I have a really hard time celebrating my own wins, but then like I have friends who are like, Diana, you just did this. You need to celebrate it. You need to tell people, like, stop like not appreciating this. Like, accept it. Like, you deserve this. And I'm like, okay, now it's time to accept it.
Yeah, totally, totally. Oh my gosh, I feel like we might not have enough time to cover all the things that I feel like we could talk about. But do you want to start with sales process and talk me through what you're doing currently? Maybe we can go there, and then I think I have some pricing tips on how to raise it without doing another big jump, because you do want to marinate a little bit, right? You want to like, you're trying to get your average package up without having to totally jump into a different pricing zone, because then you'll be doing the whole thing again, right? Okay, so walk me through your sales process first.
So when somebody inquires with me, I answer pretty quickly if I can. Otherwise, I have on my website like please allow 24 to 48 hours for a response. I will normally send a personalized video over via text message or via email, depending on like if the phone number is a valid phone number or if they accidentally transposed a number, something like that. But I'll send something over and I'll just say hi. And I'll say their names and I'll say thank you so much for inquiring with me. I'd love to chat with you guys about your wedding day, kind of get to know each other a little better, hear what's important to you guys, but then also dive into, the pricing part of it. I'll announce it over a couple of times that I'm available, and then we'll kind of schedule a Zoom consult from there. I'll hop on a Zoom and we'll discuss everything, kind of get to know each other, and then discuss pricing and about their wedding day, what they're looking for, and things like that.
Is that the same process you were doing with the 63 inquiries too? Like, have you done this that whole time? Okay.
Yes. I would send over a video message when they would inquire with me, and sometimes they would respond, sometimes they would not. And then I follow up. I have a rule where I'll follow up at least 2 times before I, let them know, okay, I'm closing this out because I haven't heard from you. And I do give them time to respond where it's like, okay, I'm going to give you, a couple days to a week, just depends on what's going on. And then if they don't respond, I'll follow up 1 time. And then if they don't respond to that, I send one last email and it's like, okay, I haven't heard from you. I'm going to go ahead and assume that you have found somebody for your day. And I say, I wish you the best with planning. And I know that finding someone for your day is, there's lots of variables that go into it. Basically saying like no hard feelings, because in my eyes, it's like you found someone for your day and that makes me happy. So I'll close out the inquiry if they don't respond.
Okay. Okay. And then, did you say you're doing all that on email or some of it on text?
So the video message goes through on a text message. And it normally will go through either text, and then if they don't have a good phone number, or if I get like a this is not a valid number, I'll send it via email. And then that way they can kind of view that. And then the follow-up email would be it would just be a follow-up email. So
Cool. I mean, I love that. I think it sounds really personal and sounds like it would, should it elicit a response from people. Why do you think people aren't getting back to you? Did you say you are talking about their budget in that video or you're sending out pricing in the email?
I don't send pricing in email. I normally get them on the call and talk about it because everybody's days are different, is what I've discovered. Nobody has the same thing of like the same what they're needing and what they're wanting. So being able to get someone on the call to talk about what they're looking for and really dive into kind of like how many hours you exactly want and things like that is what helps with that. And that is, I don't talk about the pricing on the initial like response. I don't think when I send over, like if I were to send over a pricing sheet, to me, it's not me as a person. Because I'm a pretty personable person, and sending over a pricing sheet is just like, okay, here is this. Let me know if you want to book a call. It's much more than that, and I don't know if it's the communication style of the different generations, because Gen Z is also inquiring with me, and Gen Z communicates way differently than I do. So it's could be that, and it could be that maybe they get a text message and they're like, oh, what do I do now type thing. And sometimes people will say, oh, I'm sorry this went to, my spam, or sorry this like didn't go through right away, or it didn't play right away. So there has been technical issues, but there also has been where people just don't respond. And it could just be that it caught them off guard. So
It's so interesting. I do. My advice for sales processes changes with different pricing zones. I was just talking about this on a Danger School call because we have our membership where we do coaching, and I'm like, there's budget zone, there's premium or like a moving between premium and luxury, and then there's luxury. And with each client experience and each pricing zone, your client is going to want different things. And, so I know you're still kind of moving between zones, but I think at 45, 55, 65, they might want more information up front. And that's not what I would say if your pricing was twice as much, but I think with where it is, you might make it easier for people to have some of it there. And then when you have the call, you really can give all that you want to give to the people that are like actually invested in you and excited to jump in with you. I know it's funny because it's like different advice than I would give and for a lot of different things, but I think you're already feeling the tension of wanting to deliver a luxury experience and still kind of being in the premium pricing zone, right? So what do you think you want to give a little bit more information up front or do a bit of a jump so that you can like build out something more?
I wouldn't mind giving, and I have given information up front. Like, if they really want to know like an actual starting price before moving forward with the call, I have given it to them if they ask. I don't mind doing that at all. And if they don't want to move forward with the call, then I understand because maybe I am out of their budget, and that's okay. I think the whole thing of making a big jump that scares me would be that of like making that big jump where it's like, okay, now someone's going to inquire with me and I have to send this starting price over. And it could be where it feels a little daunting to me, where it's like, okay, I'm going to send this over, but they may or may not move forward with a call. So.
Yeah, totally. I mean, another thing that you can choose, you can try too, is having like a scheduler on your website too, so people can you like skip the step of going back and forth with you. Because I do think you're right that Gen Z is communicating differently, and that like just jumping to like skipping some steps is going to be more helpful, perhaps. And so then you really can do both, where you're walking them through your process, but also not having to have quite so much back and forth. Have you tried that
Yeah.
before, kind of having the scheduler more accessible?
I have not, and I actually have seen it on a few people's, like just some friends' websites, because they have it on there. And I wonder if it would help, because then it's like, okay, they can schedule their own call right there. And I know people I've talked with, like about, website copy and things like that, they have it on their site where it's like, okay, you can pick this time, schedule a time with us. And it did make it easier for me because then it's like, I'm not having to wait to hear back. So I could do that. I think that would be something fun to try, where it's like, try this, see how it works, see what happens type thing.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
I think sales process, like there's some things that I think are hard and fast sales principles that will stick forever. And there's some things where you have to try it and see how you feel and see how they feel. And you're right, we're running into a different generation that does just like communicate differently than we are used to as
Yeah.
millennials. I'm like, man, that changed fast. But yeah,
Did change fast.
I would think try that, because then like, do you have people tell you, hey, when we, do you feel like when I'm in person, it's an immediate yes? Or when we book a phone call, like it's so much more effective. Like, do you have people tell you that your personality
Yes.
is really a big part of what seals the agreement or whatever?
I think so. I get told a lot that I'm really good on like in person or on video. And even though it's kind of, again, that's the whole thing of like daunting of getting on a video with somebody like you don't know, or going to meet somebody who you are meeting for coffee. If I can get on and connect with them, 9 times out of 10, they're booking. But if I have a problem with connecting with them from the get-go of like getting them on the call or trying to schedule something, they're not always going to book. And it's because I don't have that connection. But most of the time when I get on a video or, in person, there's that instant connection. We always get along and we end up talking for more than the scheduled time. And it's a lot of fun, but it's that connection thing. And I get that compliment a lot of like, oh, you're the first person who actually sent over a personal video message, who, took the time to really connect with us, address us by names. And that is something that I really enjoy doing because I want them to feel like there is a connection there and you guys have names and I'm going to refer to you by your names, not hi. So.
Yeah, totally. Totally. I would, especially at this pricing zone, I would try the scheduling link. And the other thing, Diana, is I think when we are a little bit of the industry disruptor, when our inquiry process is just a little bit different than everyone else's, we're going to be the one that stands out. And so if you made it really easy for people, because this premium pricing zone is customer service and ease of booking. Those are like the client's two main priorities, is like, make this easy for me and help me know that I'm like taken care of. And so I think you hit those two things with, you're already doing such a beautiful job with your sales process. And this would just like take one extra pain point off of your client by letting them book it. And then you can still send the personal video, but you're sending it after they've already booked a call with you, right?
Yeah, I like that idea. Do you have a recommendation of one to use?
Like a scheduler. I like Calendly, or do you use any kind of CRM like Dubsado or HoneyBook?
Currently use HoneyBook. I may be switching to Dubsado though.
Okay.
But I do currently use HoneyBook.
I use 17 hats for my CRM, but my we have a lot of people that use Dubsado, and I think that they have schedulers in a lot of those CRMs. And so,
Awesome.
you could already be having some nurture emails in there and things like that too. So,
Yeah, I like that idea.
I also think with with the video and or the text, whatever you're sending as like a, hey, I just saw you booked this call. I'm Diana. I'm so excited to chat with you. Like asking a question can be a good way to keep like, I would love to, I'm excited to give you a quote and to talk through your day and having some question for them. So it's not just sending something that they're not sure whether they should respond to it or not. So like, do you know how many guests are going to be at your wedding? Are you having multiple days of events at your wedding? We do this when people reach out about coaching. We're like, can you tell us more about like your yearly revenue or what your business looks like right now? So just having something that makes it a little more interactive can help too, and make sure you're not getting ghosted, which is like the worst, right? Like, why even put effort into filling out this inquiry form if you're going to just disappear on me? It doesn't even make sense.
That's like you took the words right out of my head because that's exactly how I feel about being ghosted, and you took them right out. So
I know. I think asking a question really does help because it's like, hey, I saw you sent this in. There's a little bit more information I need to get you what you need, and then just assuming people are super busy and get overwhelmed. That's my biggest thing is I'm like, people are busy, people are getting overwhelmed. If I can simplify a system for them, if I can just make it a little bit easier, then I'm going to be the one that stands out.
yeah.
And then I think with your pricing, even without having to do a big jump, expanding the distance between your packages and what you're adding into them can help you raise the average booking without having to like, risk not getting booked for a year or whatever, right? Like it can be a
Yeah.
little bit more of that in between space. So building out some packages with some more things in it, more towards that ideal that you want. Because if you're wanting multi-day weddings, make sure you have like a package that's built out with multi-day weddings.
Do you recommend having, because I've seen it done different ways, do you recommend having the set packages or do you recommend having a starting price and then they can add in all these other things?
I've done a little bit of both. I think people need a little bit of an example of what they want. So I've kind of done it before where it is technically a la carte, but then I show sample packages. And so then it's a little bit of a hybrid. But nothing's discounted. It's just adding different things from the a la carte menu together to make these different sample packages. And then it sounds like you're already really good at sales, so you might already have this trick in your toolkit. But one thing I love is picking one of your packages and being like, this is the ideal package. This is what I want people to book. This is what is going to serve clients the best. And then tell people that. You're like, ideally, you're doing this, 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 and this. And that is really going to serve you well over the long term. You get to be that expert that's kind of like guiding your client through their journey. And you get to be like, hey, this is ideally what everyone should book. Do you do that already or have one that you kind of point people towards?
I don't actually. And that's a great tip. Because I do it when I like sell albums and stuff. I'll show them kind of ideally what they need as far as like how many pages they need to cover a full day. But I haven't done that yet with like building out a wedding day package. And I think that's a great idea.
I would just look back at your packages and change them around a little bit to add in products and different events and things like that, and not solely have it based on the amount of hours. Because again, I think people are a little, they're not sure how many hours they need. They're not sure what they need. They've never done this before. And so to have that thing, that package where you're like, this is the one that, obviously there's different budget constraints, but if, this is the one I would recommend, is super helpful. And then do you have a like, how do you feel about kind of closing the sale? Does the end of the sales call feel good to you, or does it kind of feel awkward, or how's that part for you?
It can sometimes feel a little awkward because it's like, okay, I've given you all this information, and now I'm basically asking you if you want to book. And I kind of just, at the end of, like, when we're getting towards the end of a call, I'll say, how does that sound? How are you guys feeling? And typically, I try to set a follow-up on that initial call. And they'll set a follow-up. And I always tell people, if something changes after you talk to me and we have this follow-up scheduled and you go another, route, just let me know and I'll cancel that follow-up. Because again, if they found somebody that for their day, that makes me happy because there is lots of variables with choosing somebody. So, but I won't say like I go right out and ask for the sale. I have before and it has gone good ways and bad ways. And I never want anybody to feel pressured to book right away. So I always kind of end the call on, asking how they feel about everything, asking if they have questions, and then kind of scheduling that follow-up. And if they schedule the follow-up, I feel good about it because either they're going to book on that follow-up and we just kind of finalize everything, or they find someone else and they've canceled the follow-up. So I would say I won't go outright and ask for the sale, but I've gotten a little better as I've gone on with everything because asking for it at first is, again, it goes back to that whole thing of being in your mind of like, I'm asking someone to book me, and it feels awkward asking outright because, like, no one likes sales, no one likes being sold, and that's that whole process. So,
Don't
but I've
know.
gotten better at it.
This is another thing that I want to rewrite because I think I like being sold to. I don't know. Have you ever wanted something and you're like, yeah, just tell me why I need this. Help me justify this decision to myself and tell me that you're the best option for me. And so I do think like I think what you said is beautiful. And I do think like leaving it open-handed is amazing. And I feel the same way. Like I want someone to have the best person for them. Also, Diana, you're the best person for them. Like you know what you're doing. You're so talented. You have a great personality. Like, we also don't need to leave any question that those things are true too. So
Yeah.
I feel you. It's a little bit of both, but just the like, little devil's advocate that I like being sold to. I want someone to tell me why, like, they're the one I need to hire, and like to feel really sure about it too. So,
It's funny you say that, where it's like, don't leave it on the table. But there was one time this call went really, really well. And at the end of it, I was like, okay, you like me, I like you. So are we gonna do this or not? And I kind of like joked about it. And they were like, yeah, we are. I was
yeah,
okay. I
exactly.
kind of thought about it that way before, like just kind of like doing it that way and not being so serious about it, I guess. And it's worked out before where it's like, okay, you like me, I like you. Are we doing this or what? And it has worked out. So.
I love that. I love that you mentioned that. And I do think, again, sales is such an art, and you have to find the things that feel good for you to say. That also communicate, hey, I think I'm the best fit for you without being like, oh, these other photographers are trash and I'm the best. Like, obviously, that's not what we want to say. What we want to make it clear that we are a great choice. So I love that you shared that example. I've done like, well, do you want to go for it or do you want to check this off your list and like get it all booked and all set, And if you leave it light like that, someone can be like, hey, we're not ready. I'm like, cool, no problem. And, in my head, I'm like, okay, they're probably not going to book me, but whatever, you're just like, yeah, cool, that's fine. But yeah, I think it's a good thing to a little bit ask for it at the end.
It is, and the worst they can say is no. They can be like, oh no, we're not ready to book, and that's it. And at least you tried, at least you asked, so.
Yeah, but in the way that feels good for you, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, I feel like we could dive more into marketing as well, but it sounds like the networking is really working for you. My one like little tip is look outside the wedding industry for networking too.
Okay.
We're a little bit too incestuous sometimes, and like my business got started from volunteer organizations that I was helping out with from doing being in a church. Like there were communities around me that helped me get my business off the ground. And so I think it's good to, not have all of our eggs in just the wedding networking bucket, but to kind of look outside that too and be like, where else do I want to dive in into my community, and be seen, be available, things like that. Anything like that that you
Okay.
think would be fun? I was just telling a group of mine today, like one of my coaching groups, I was like, people are getting off the dating apps and they're doing like running clubs and like knitting clubs. You know, like people are joining clubs to meet each other now. I'm like, I love this. I love that we're kind of like over some of the dating apps. Anyways, what do you think about that for networking?
That could be fun to try. I'm also a member of a non-wedding industry group called Heels and Handshakes, and I've actually
Yeah.
kind of, been networking that way too, and meeting people outside of the wedding industry, because you are right what you said about the wedding industry. And it's easy for us to just kind of stick to what's familiar, and then outside, going outside of that circle and just kind of letting people know I'm there, things like that. I got a wedding lead off of photographing an event at a wedding venue, but it wasn't a wedding at all. It was an event called Running of the Sheep, and I got a wedding lead off of that. So
That's awesome.
it's basically that. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. Well, Diana, you're crushing it. Your website's beautiful. Your work is beautiful. I'm so excited to see your calendar continue to fill this year. And I'm hoping that those tips, both on the pricing front and on the sales, will help. Please report back and let me know how they go. And if there's a phrase that ends up being the secret sauce or whatever. But it's been so fun to
I
talk to
definitely
you.
will. It's been a lot of fun, yes. And I definitely will report back.
Do you have any questions or any things you wanted to make sure we covered before we hop off?
I think we covered everything and more. And I appreciate all of the tips and everything with just like the raising of pricing, things like that, and how to kind of do things effectively instead of just taking a big jump, because I think that's what has scared me is I am being told by peers, but also one of my couples from last year, when I gave them a quote, they were like, "Oh, I thought you'd be like $10,000." And I was like, "Should I be charging this?" And
Well, you
that's
should
kind
probably
of
have a
like,
package at that,
yeah.
go add some packages, so for sure.
After you talking about the sample package, I'm definitely going to kind of do that. I think I'm going to build some like sample ones of like ideal, like what ideally I would love to do, because I love covering not just the wedding day. I love being involved in when there's a welcome party or there's a rehearsal dinner, because if they're ordering an album, I want them to have the whole story, not just the day of. And I like seeing that journey as well and being a part of it. So, yeah.
Totally. Well, and this way, and I think I didn't ask you this, but this is your main income, right? Is photography.
It is. It has been since November of 2020.
Yeah, and that's amazing. And so, I think we have to take all advice with a grain of salt. Photography's always been the bread and butter for my family too, and I'm like, I take a lot of risks in my business, but also they have to be really calculated because I still need to pay my bills, And so a way to do that without like totally destroying your nervous system is to keep growing the packages and the average booking. And it doesn't mean you have to change every single number in your pricing sheet. You're like stretching it. And then once your average booking is like up at 6,000, 7,000, then we can raise it again, and like we can go that way, and it won't maybe feel so jarring to, your nervous system. And also there's so many opportunities to make a $5,000 client into a $10,000 client by the time you're done working with them. So, like that initial sale is not the only time that you can increase their package and what you're doing with them. And so, I think like be encouraged that you're in a really, really good place and you can grow a super profitable, busy business in this zone and continue to like raise your average booking in a way that feels good for you and a little bit more natural too.
Yeah, I like that.
Does that feel good? That feels like the right choice? Or were you wanting me to
It
say
does.
start at 10,000 and never look back?
No, I was kind of hoping you wouldn't say that.
Oh,
Like that's a big jump to go from 6,500 to 10,000. That's not big jump. And it's not a jump that's like smart, like you would say, because you do have to do things strategically and you do have to do things calculated. Yes, it can be risky to raise rates and raise pricing, but if you do it calculated and strategic, it can be profitable, like you were saying. So.
For sure. And jumping markets, you have done a whole lot in a few years. So like there's always a, we don't see other people's timelines. I feel like it took me like 7 years to get to the pricing that you're at currently, so it you should so feel so proud. And then when you're, ready to jump to the total next pricing tier, there's some things to like there's some things that align with that will be markers of like I'm ready to jump. Like this has happened, this has happened, this has happened, And so I think you'll know, but there's things that are like kind of lined up with that next tier too.
Yeah.
Awesome. Do you have any other questions?
I don't think so. I think we've like I've answered everything I've asked, and I appreciate it.
Good. Guys, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of the Dangerous Creatives Podcast. We're so thankful that we can deliver this awesome content to you each week, and we're so thankful for your support and that you keep showing up to listen. If you want to dive in a bit more, we have our membership that is open year-round. We just launched a couple challenges inside of it, the Money Mindset Challenge and the Vision Challenge, and those are things you can walk through at your own pace. They're super fun and easy to get through and also really inspiring if you're trying to make moves in your business. We have a monthly call as part of that membership too. So you get to join for a year, have community, jump in with a bunch of creatives, and also walk through the curriculum together. So if you want more information on that, you can check out that and all of our other offerings at dangerschool.com. Thanks so much, and we'll see you soon. This episode was produced and edited by the lovely Jen Madigan Creative. Music for this episode was written and recorded by Shammy D. Thanks for being part of our Dangerous Creatives podcast community, and we'll see you again next time.